Matthew chapter number 28. This verse 18 through verse number 20, these last few verses of the book of Matthew, of course, our Lord here gives us our marching orders, what we are to be about, what we are to be doing. Now there's many things that, and we're going to look at some of them today as we consider, there's many things that go along with this. This is our work outside and inside the church, what we're to be doing that he gives here. And we're going to be looking at particularly some of those things inside today. How we are to interact with one another, how we are to help one another, why it is so important for us to be a part of a body of the Lord Jesus Christ that's so dependent, that we are so dependent on in our lives. But our Lord ends here with this direction here in verse 18 as he's speaking to his disciples. And he says in verse 18, Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority, that word is exousia there in the Greek, it means all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So he has authority over it all. It all belongs to him. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so here he gives us a command. He declares, first of all, his authority. He has all authority. Heaven and earth, it all belongs to him. And he says, go. Go. Teach all nations. What are we to teach them? Well, we're to teach them the gospel of Christ. That's what we are to carry forth, is to bring his gospel to this world around us. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. That is that chief message that we are to proclaim to those around us. It is the chief message that we are declaring to our children and to our grandchildren. It is the chief desire of what we want to see accomplished in our world as the children of God, to see souls saved, to see them come to Christ Jesus and understand who he is. The declaration of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And then those that believe, those that hear it, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then teaching them to observe all things. That's that discipleship. That's continuing in that teaching. So that baptism, that's the purpose of bringing them into the body of the church, into this body here, and then having brought them into this body by that baptism, by them joining the church and being part of the church, then we continue that teaching. We continue that discipling, teaching them how to live for Christ, how to live in him, what he has commanded of us in our service and in our worship of him. And so he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or end of this age. Amen. Now, this responsibility to make disciples, this responsibility is for all of us to do, to be a part of. But it's never to be done as a lone ranger. We are to be united together as a body to do this work, to bring the gospel to our community, to be faithful, to declare Christ to those around us, and then this continued teaching of the Word of God to those that believe and come to be part of us. It is our responsibility to fulfill this mission together as a church. Now, yeah, we witness individually. We witness to those folks that are around us in our lives each and every day where we have that opportunity to speak the name of Christ. That's what we do. We speak His name. We may even disciple individually those that we have opportunity to witness to speak to teach concerning the Word of God. We might be discipling them individually. But we know that we do these things. As we do them, it is imperative for us to be linked together with this church, to be linked together with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can encourage one another and strengthen one another and help one another as we go through each and every day to do this work that He's called us to do. We might love one another, that we might pray for one another, that we might encourage one another. And so it is needful, in order to do the work that Christ Jesus has called us to do, it is absolutely necessary that we be gathered together with His church, with His saints, to do this work together. To be united together to finish this task that He's given for us to do. Now, in order to do that, in order to be fitted together, to be united together to do this, there is a part of that discipling that He's speaking of there in verse number 20, is our interaction one with another, and how we help one another in this life. I just made mention these things, these troubles, these trials, these tribulations that come our way in this life, they are temporary, yes, but they are heavy when they are upon us, and we need one another's help. We need one another's love. We need one another's encouragement in those times, that we might be able to carry those burdens and carry those loads, that we can help strengthen one another in those times. And so it is necessary for us as the children of God to remain unified together as we go forward to do this work of the Lord, that we might be strengthened one with another to be found faithful to Him and to His return. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank You again for this day. We thank You, Father, for Your great grace. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Father, for the many blessings that You've poured out upon us this day. Father, we thank You that You've allowed each and every one that has come this way this morning to be able to come out and to be here in Your house this morning. We pray that You'd help us, Father, to worship You in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for the Sunday school lessons that have gone forth, the prayers that have been lifted up, the songs that have been sang, Father, for Your glory and honor. And we're just thankful for each thing, each part, each heart that is represented here today as we've come in to spend this time together in Your house. And we pray that You'd help us, Father, to worship You in spirit and in truth. Bless our time together today, Father, that we might be encouraged together by Your Word, that we might be strengthened by that which we find herein, that You might ever help us, Father, to be found faithful servants to Thy name. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings and how often, Father, we come short of Your glory, and ever draw us closer to You, to help us, Father, that we might be better saints, better servants of Thy name, that we might be better witnesses of Christ to those around us. Help us to shine forth His light as we go in and out of this world each and every day. Father, go with us now. We pray as we look to Your Word. Again, open it before us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now, Very simply, we are to commit ourselves to one of the Lord's New Testament churches. One of the problems with the idea of universal church is people make church of themselves. And they say, well, I don't need to go. I can go by myself. You know how many times I've heard people say, I don't need to go to church. I'll go to the woods and worship the Lord. Well, yeah, I go to the woods and worship Him, but He still tells me I have to come and worship with His church too. I don't have that option to go and do what I want to on my own by myself whenever I want to do it. I have to follow what God says to do. I have to follow what He declares for us. And it is part of the requirement that He has given us that we indeed be unified with one of His churches. The Bible makes this reality a priority for us. He has entrusted His churches with godly leaders who teach the Word and care for the souls of God's people. And He tells us to pay attention to them, listen to them, to be mindful of the things that they are declaring. He has united us together as a body to hold us accountable to holiness, that we would be faithful to Him in our daily walk. That it would not just be that our service, our life for Him would not just be a Sunday thing, but that it is an everyday thing that He's holding us to. Galatians chapter 6. Go back with me and read here, Galatians chapter 6. And hold your place here in Galatians 6. We'll be back to this passage, but notice what he says here. Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. He says. In Matthew 18, go back with me and look there just a moment. Matthew 18, here the Lord gives direction concerning our encouragement and our unification together as one of His people within the body of one of His churches. And He tells us how we are to handle difficult situations between us when we get out of the way of one another. Believe it or not, we can do that. We can make one another mad, and we can say the wrong things, and we can do the wrong things, and we can hurt one another's feelings. That's not what we're supposed to be about. That's what we're to strive against. But we're still people, and we still mess up, and we still sin, and we still act stupid. And we still hurt one another. And when that happens, the Lord gives us direction here how to correct those things. And He says here in Matthew 18, verse 15, it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them in my Father, be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And so we are to hold one another accountable, is what he's telling us here. We're to hold one another accountable to holiness, to righteous living. So how, as a member of the Grace Baptist Church, for instance, it is the church's business about how the membership lives and serves our Lord. We're accountable to one another to encourage and strengthen, to help us serve and live for Him as He's called us to do. Now, God has commanded us to faithfully gather together, to study His Word, to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, to baptize new believers, pray for and encourage one another, to love one another. He's declared these things for us. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, we read there concerning these folks that were saved on the day of Pentecost. There were 3,000 added to them on that day. And it says of them in verse 42 of Acts 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued. They went on doing what the rest of the church was doing already. They were continuing on to faithfully follow, to faithfully serve the Lord just as they were beforehand. Hebrews chapter 10, Paul says here in this passage concerning the necessity of us meeting together, being united together as one of his churches. He says here in verse 24 and verse number 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, he says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. As we draw closer to these end times, as we draw closer to the return of our Lord, we need each other's encouragement and strength all the more. Amen. All the more. And so the last thing we need to be doing is keeping ourselves from each other. But rather what we should be doing is coming, drawing closer together, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, loving one another in these times. As we know, we are drawing closer to the day of our Lord's return. Why is it necessary then? I mean, when He comes, I mean, hey, everything's good then. The problem is He's told us that until He returns, things are going to get worse and worse. These days are going to get more evil and more evil. And so because of that, we need each other's help all the more. We need that strengthening from one another. We need that love from one another to encourage us in these evil days in which we live. And so He tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of, it was already a problem in Paul's day. People didn't come out to the house of God. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we need each other to be united together, to love one another, to encourage one another in our service and in our walk. And then we scatter from this place after we meet for services, and we go out to carry the Word of God to our community around us, to our loved ones, our family, our friends, people we work with, wherever we may find ourselves, that we might declare unto them the gospel of Christ, that others might be saved, that more disciples might be made. And then we come again together, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, loving one another. It's essential. He's called us here. Go back over here to Galatians 6. He's called us here to bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's burdens. The scripture is given us, the teaching of the Word of God is given us to equip us to the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4, verse 12, Paul says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The teaching, the discipling of the Word of God is to make us useful to one another, to help one another, to strengthen one another. So we need that teaching that we might be able to use it to minister to each other as well. And he tells us here in Galatians 6 and verse 1 and verse 2. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. That means he has sinned and he has been overcome by that sin. That sin has just destroyed him. That sin has weighed him down. That sin has been made known, and it is just, I mean, it is a weight upon him. And so we see that one that's been overtaken in a fault. He says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so it's our desire that if we see one overtaken in their sin, one who is overcome and overwhelmed by failure, by a transgression that they have brought in their lives, and that we see them weakened by this, we see them trodden down by this, we see them under the weight of that sin, we, he says, that are spiritual are to restore that one. And how do we restore them? How do we restore them? In the spirit of meekness. In the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself. In other words, we do so, we approach them in meekness as we try to help them in this state in which they are in, recognizing I can do the exact same thing. I could fail in the exact same. I could fail even worse. Amen. Than they have fallen. And so we restore such a one in that meekness, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bearing one another's burdens. Simply helping those around us. Now, we all may not be overtaken in a sin. We may not all be overtaken in a fall, but we all have burdens. Every last one of us. There's a story that was told about a Bible college, and there was an old Indian chief that had been called to preach, and he was in preacher's class. And they were telling how to prepare a sermon. And the teacher was saying, you have 3 points and a point. 3 points and a point. That's your sermon. That's how you outline a sermon. 3 points and a point. That old Indian chief, he never had much to say, and he was really struggling with this. He was always just, you know, straight to the point. And so they didn't know how his first sermon was going to turn out when he would make up his sermon. And his topic that he took was troubles. Troubles. And so he got up to preach. And he got his outline. And he said, the title of my sermon is Troubles. Point one, I got them. Point two, you got them. Point three, all God's children got them. And for my poem, Adam had them. And so that was, we got them, every one of us. We have troubles, we have burdens. They've been on us since Adam. They've been on us since Adam because of sin. Because of sin. They are a reality for us in our lives. The troubles, the trials, the burdens. And even when we're not in sin, when we are not overtaken in a sin, as Paul describes here, there's still burdens that we have. There's still things that weigh heavy upon our hearts. And we need each other's help. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's prayer. We need each other's love in those times, that we are remembering one another, we are helping one another, that we are encouraging one another, and where we can, helping carry those burdens for one another. Because these burdens are on all of us. Especially when the sin comes, it's much heavier. It's much heavier. But we all have these burdens that we need to be helping to bear one for another. But we don't like to get involved in other people's problems, do we? Our problems are messy enough. Mine's a mess. I don't need to go try and help them bear theirs, you know. And so we try to stay out of it. We don't come alongside like we should. And quite frankly, those that are having the burden, we don't always, during the burden, always trust the other to come and help us like we need in the moments. And so we hold on to it. And we don't let them know about the burden. We don't let them know about the weight of it that is upon us. It's a sad commentary, really. It's a sad commentary on the sinfulness of God's people. Because we need one another. We need each other's help. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's love. And we need to help one another bear those burdens. And we need to trust one another enough where, as much as we can, to trust one another enough to let them know those burdens, that those burdens can be borne. And so it's important for us. It's important for us to help to bear those burdens. And we say, but what if they don't want us to bear the burdens? That may be a fact. That may be a fact. What if they don't want to tell me what the burden is? What if they just don't let me near them to help bear the burden in the situation? Well, a bigger question, what if I don't want to bear their burden? What if I don't want to do that, Lord? Well, he doesn't give us an option. He says, bear you one another's burdens. Bear you one another's burdens. There may be times where we don't know the burden. There may be times where they're not willing to tell us the burden. There may be times when they say, no, I've got this. I'll handle this. We obviously can't force ourselves under the weight of it. And so what do? We pray. We encourage. We lift them up before the throne of grace. Seek God's best for them. Seek God's will for them. Seek God's help for them in that time that they are in the throes of that particular burden. Bear ye one another's burdens, he says. Now this bearing the burdens, particularly in what he's talking about here, is not for the purpose of changing outward behavior, but it is about transforming the heart. And the transforming of the heart is not because you or I come along to help bear a burden or to help lift the weight of this sin that is on this one. The changing of the heart is done by the Spirit of God. He's the one that works in the lives of these individuals. He's the one that opens their hearts to see his, His reality, to see His Word, to understand what He's accomplished. But we are to be there as much as we can alongside, encouraging and strengthening until the Lord works, until the Lord does, until the Lord moves in that situation. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter number 7, verse number 18. The Lord says here, and He saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's not what is outside of us. It's not what's outside of us that causes us to sin. Rather, it is what is in us that causes us to sin. It is what is in us, that depraved nature. That's what brings forth sin. That's what defiles us. And it's already there. It's already there because we're born of the seed of Adam. Because he's our great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, that we all have this stuff in us already. And that's what comes out of us. That's what defiles us before the Lord. And so it's impossible for us to transform or change a person's heart. Only God can work such a miracle. Only He can change at heart. Only He can bring righteousness out from this place. Only He can work such a miracle. In Ezekiel chapter 36, He says He gives them takes a heart of stone and gives them a heart of flesh. He changes us from inside. John chapter 6 and verse number 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John writes here, the words of the Lord says, It is the Spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are life. It's the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit of God that makes us alive. It's the Spirit of God that redeems us unto Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit of God that changes our hearts from dead works to alive in Christ Jesus. It's His Spirit that works and does these things. And He does so by the Word of God. He does so by us hearing the Word of God. So how do we bear one another's burdens? How do we bear one another's burdens? But by encouraging with the Word of God. Because in His Word is power. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Paul writes here concerning the Word of God. He says here, For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's amazing. It's so wondrous what the Word of God can do to the heart of an individual. How he can, I mean, where we think there is no chance of them hearing, when we think there is no chance of them understanding, the Spirit of God will take that word and apply it to their heart and change them completely. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, the power of the Word of God. And for those who have been born again, those who have had Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you know all too well the power of that Word. What it has done in your heart as well. Bear one another's burdens. It's not easy, but it's also not optional. And so we must face this head on. God never intended for us to be alone in our service to Him. He never intended for us to be isolated. He never intended us to be defeated by sin. But rather, we are to advance powerfully in the world around us with all love and all joy for those that we come in contact with, that it can be seen in us as we go forward in this world, that we would shine bright to the Lord Jesus as we go in and out of this world each and every day. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the exact same Spirit in us that empowers us and directs us to go forth each and every day, that empowers us to bear one another's burdens. That same Spirit will work mightily through us if we've submitted ourselves to Him and to do His will. But remember, in bearing one another's burdens, we cannot change. We cannot change the one whom we are bearing the burden for. We must give Him the Word. We must fervently pray for Him. And the Spirit of God will work the change in him. We have to trust the Lord to do that work. And we are each one called as a member of this church, we are each one called to do that work. To bear one another's burdens. To strengthen one another. To love one another. Encourage one another. That's why He has put us together. Why He's brought us together as a body. The mission of our church is way too important for us to leave to everybody else to do. You have the responsibility as well. You have the responsibility to shine forth Christ. You have the responsibility to proclaim His gospel. You have the responsibility to bear one another's burdens. That the whole body may function together to do the work that God has given us to do. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 15 and 16. Let's go back up to verse 12. Read down through verse 16. Paul says, for the perfecting, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Our Lord has fit us together, Paul says. He's fit us together that we might supply one another with the needful nutrients to do the work that God has given us to do. We're dependent upon each other. We're dependent upon each other to do this work. Now, your part will not always be easy. And it won't always be fun. In fact, your part of that which you supply may cost you. It may cost you. But be faithful. Be faithful to what God has called you to. Be faithful to the work that He has given for you to do. Be faithful. Be faithful to bear one another's burdens, to strengthen one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, that we might all be brought together, as he says there, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's what we're pressing toward. That's what we're pressing toward. And we need the help of one another as we press toward that mark. Amen. Bear one another's burdens. Strengthen one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. Be a help. Be a help one to another. And not a burden. Be a help. Be a help. That we might be found faithful. That we might hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's all stand. Brother Gordon, would you bring us a song?